Hi and welcome to the joint service, the Good Friday service, as we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. I want to welcome St. Giles and Mountain View people to this service. We pray that you will be blessed. A couple just quick announcements. I'm going to invite you to send into our webpage or through St. Giles prayer requests you might have that we can pray for the community and put out there that you feel comfortable with. We'd like to do that Sunday by Sunday. And a reminder that this Sunday is communion. We're going to celebrate that he is risen. Be ready at home to say he is risen indeed. We are going to do that. And I just wanted to invite you to have your elements ready because we're going to celebrate communion. And please take a picture of it and send it, load it up to us on Facebook. Tag us if you want. And we'd love to share with the community everybody's different experiences of our new online communion. But now, let us quiet ourselves and let us prepare our hearts for worship. This morning, we celebrate sacrifice. It's the darkest time for humanity, but it's also the revelation of how great our God is. Dark because we took truth, goodness, and life and hung it on a cross. Goodness because he allowed us to, so that he might redeem us. As we celebrate today and as we reflect, let us remind ourselves of who the living God is, the one who hangs on a cross for our sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love revealed through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are glorified most in sacrifice and love. We thank you, Jesus, that you would carry the cross for our sakes, that you would take the curse we deserve upon yourself, that you would destroy evil, and that you would destroy death itself. We pray this morning that you would fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that you would help each one of us to remember this sacrifice, and that you would turn our hearts from the gods we make to you, the living God. Help us to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And this is how you show it to humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Lamb of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto you. heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed Him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where Your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto Thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where Your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto Thee. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. And now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. And now the curse of sin has no hold on thee. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where Your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto Thee. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where Your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto Thee. Praise and honor unto Thee. Praise and honor unto Thee. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let's pray for a moment. Father God, grant us grace by your Holy Spirit that we would hear not simply words on a page nor the words of a man, but let us hear the words of your heart, that we would be changed by your living word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 12. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 40. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know if you've ever heard the name Friedrich Nietzsche, but I can guarantee you've heard of his philosophy. Friedrich Nietzsche is known for his God is dead movement. His belief that when he was able to undo through his philosophy and his fellow philosophers were able to undo the Enlightenment view of absolute truth, that he was able to destroy God himself. He tells this in a parable called the Parable of the Madman, and he describes it this way. Have you heard of that madman who lit a lantern in the bright morning hours, ran to the marketplace, and cried incessantly, "I seek God! I seek God!" As many of those who do not believe in God were standing around just then, he provoked much laughter. "Whither is God?" he cried. "I shall tell you. We have killed him. You and I, all of us are murderers. God is dead. God remains dead. We have killed him." Nietzsche believed that. Nietzsche believed that he and his followers had the power to kill God. But did he? Was he the first? It's interesting. Nietzsche should have read history, because he wasn't the first one to think that he had that kind of power. And he's also not the first one that's going to realize that you can't really kill the living God and keep him down. And that's why we call this Good Friday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this day we come before you a time of celebration and lamentation. A celebration of how good you are, a lamentation of how wrong we were and are as a humanity. We pray today that in this moment you will open our eyes and our ears so that we may understand the God of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a guy that came long before Nietzsche. His name was Pilate. He had a God too. His God was a God of power, of kings, Mars, war. And he was to keep the peace in Jerusalem, and he had to make sure that no other people with his truth would try and take it over. No other gods would kick him out. And the Jews knew this. So they took Jesus Christ because they couldn't crucify him themselves, and they didn't want his blood on their hands. The Jews took him, the leader of the Jews, and they gave him to Pilate and said, here's your kind of truth and your kind of king, one that's going to try and take you over. And that's the picture we have in today's reading. We have Pilate in front of, and you've got to imagine the scene. He's standing in front of a peasant Galilean who didn't look anything like what kings look like in the ancient world. I think this was more a mesmerization, that Pilate was mesmerized by this scene. When he's interviewing him, he says, Pilate entered the headquarters again, that great place, that great wide area which showed power in Rome, which showed his God and his truth, and he summoned Jesus. In comes this Galilean peasant, and he asks him, are you the king of the Jews? That's how I think it went on. I don't think there was any doubt in Pilate's eyes, but he had to interview him. Because kings don't look like this. Jesus asked him, answered, do you ask me this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Jesus picks right through. He knows who's really pulling the strings. And he's letting Pilate actually kind of know, you're being played. You and your awesome, powerful God, you're doing this because someone else set you up to it. Pilate, I guarantee, did not like that. He was an anti-Semite, according to Josephus, the great historian. I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? What could you have done to deserve this? And then Jesus answers something that is truth that he can never understand. And it's funny, Jesus even tries to teach this awful Roman leader who destroys and kills and worships a God of power and violence the truth. He says, my kingdom is not from this world. He doesn't mean that God doesn't love this world, but it's not the way this world works. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. In other words, if my kingdom was like your kingdom, we would fight, we would use violence, we would destroy. But the difference is we're not. Our kingdom doesn't go there. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Oh, I'm a king, but not like you understand it. Pilate asked him, so you are a king? He can't understand. Jesus says, you say that I am a king. In other words, you say it through your views, what you understand kingship to be. For this I was born, Jesus says. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth of ultimately what's important. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Forgive your enemies. Love your neighbor. Pilate asked him, what is truth? You could almost hear Nietzsche there. What does Pilate do then? Well, he takes him out to another people with a very similar God, but different. He takes him out to the Jews. And he said to them this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against them. I think he's rubbing it in their face. You guys brought him before me. Fooey on you. He had no love for the Jews. But they had a king too. They had a Lord. They had a God that they had created. A God that only loved Israel. A God, a Messiah that was going to out Caesar. Caesar was going to use violence to destroy. And so he was brought, the God of Abraham is brought before these people, but they had so lost the truth of this God and embraced a God like this world embraces, that when he asks, do you have a custom that I release for you at this Passover? Do you want me to release the King of the Jews, the truth, your God? They shouted and replied, not this man, but Barabbas. They showed their God. It says Barabbas was a bandit. That's an unfortunate translation. Barabbas was a terrorist. He was a national terrorist. They didn't put bandits on crosses. And they wanted somebody who would destroy Rome. And so, Jesus was crucified. Oh, he was. That, historically, there's no doubt. But who did they really crucify? They crucified truth. The truth was crucified that day, and because the truth was crucified that day, the whole world changed. You see, truth, which Nietzsche couldn't understand, is not a bunch of absolute statements of philosophical concepts or moral absolutes. Truth, what Pilate couldn't understand, isn't a militant victory and kings that want to overcome empires. And truth is not a religious system destroying other people in the name of God. People we hate. Truth is a person. You remember that Jesus says in this same gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pope Francis was dead right when he said, truth, according to the Christian faith, is God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, truth is a relationship, and a relationship is a person. And truth came before us as a person. And he showed us what truth means. Sacrificial love. We call it Good Friday, but it's not Good Friday for everybody. It's Good for Friday for those who accept truth. You see, one thing the cross does, it is as much destroys other gods as it does reveal our God. When Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, he overdid all of our idols, and that's why it's good. Those things that destroy us. He overcame the wisdom of this world. Paul, writing many, many years later to that little church in Corinth who loved truth, philosophical concepts and ideas, who worshiped power, says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the wisdom of Nietzsche, the wisdom of Pilate, the wisdom of those Jews, the wisdom of everything in our world that's outside him. And the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. I will bring it down. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Where is Nietzsche? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, they don't know the real God. God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation, truth on a cross, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greek desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified. That's the truth. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, the truth. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. That's the truth. Nietzsche, he thought he had killed God, but he'd only killed the God of human wisdom, the God of the Enlightenment, the best we could come up with for philosophical truths and moral absolutes. But he didn't kill this God, and he knew it. He hated this God. He hated a God that he couldn't touch because it was a God of love and sacrifice. A God who embraces the weak. We know he hated it because you can see this in one of his quotes. "What is more harmful than any vice," said Nietzsche, "practical sympathy and pity for all the failures and all the weak? Christianity." He hated the truth. Because it was a God he couldn't kill. Because it's a God who conquers death. The truth is, when the truth was crucified that day, he exposed all the false gods. And he crucified all the false gods. Because he was the only one that could resurrect. And he changed the world. The crucified truth changed the world. We live in a world now that was never like the Roman world. The Roman world was all about power and the rich and the wealthy. The Jewish world, for that matter, by the time of Jesus, the first century, second temple Jewish world was very similar. It's just their religious leaders were running the show. But Jesus Christ came, and as the King of Truth, showed that all of the kings of this world were false. And the false kings maybe crucified him, but they couldn't keep a good man down. And it changed the world. I'm watching this COVID-19 thing, and I saw a debate on television that made me realize how much this truth has affected us. They were talking about, when do we bring the economy back? And somebody said, it's only killing the weak and the vulnerable, this disease. And the other person, who I have no idea their faith, said, but the weak and the vulnerable have purpose, meaning, and are valuable. That's because the truth got crucified. He gave meaning to the weak and the broken. He changed the world. Alistair Begg says, the foolishness of the cross is the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is powerful in its impact. It changes the way we look at what matters. It's Good Friday because it takes what we think is important in this world, like power and wealth and religious sophistication and philosophical arrogance, and it lays it bare. It lays it bare under the cross of love and sacrifice. Oh, this is good news, folks, because this is God for us. Well, good news in so much as we believe that. It's bad news if you like the other gods. And that's why Jesus is still hated by some, like Nietzsche. But it is good news for us because God in Christ is for us. Again, insofar as, well, I'll quote Karl Barth. Christ died for us. For us insofar as this death is the acknowledgement of our mortality. insofar as in this death the unseen God becomes visible to us, insofar as this death is the place where reconciliation with God takes place, in which we as the created ones who have sinned, erred, is lovingly brought back to Him. Insofar as this death, the paradox of God's justice, the identity between His wrathful holiness and forgiving mercy, becomes truth for us. The truth was crucified, and we're saved. Our sins are forgiven, but more importantly, our idols have been exposed. We should celebrate as much as we mourn Good Friday. And we should make this a part of our lives every day, that the God of the cross has shown us what is really important. To quote John Piper, life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. What was once foolish to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom and our power and our only boast in this world. You want to hear some good news? The God who loved us enough to hang on the cross, the truth crucified, He's still alive. He's not dead. Oh, but I know who is dead. Pilate, the leader of the Jews, and Nietzsche. But because this God lives, we know forgiveness wins, weakness overcomes, and we will live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your kindness, Your tender mercies. We thank You that You, a God, an unseen God, would reveal Himself to us through Your Son. We thank You that You take idol makers like us who make gods in our image, gods of power or philosophical truth or religious systems, and You shatter it with the cross. And You showed us that truth is love, sacrificed. And that You promise that truth is for us, the weak, the sinners, and the broken. Be with us now in Your Spirit and seal that truth so we can live that wisdom in a world that is yet to know You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there He bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, a final perfect Lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war He fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls He bought, hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way. Hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground when Jesus' blood came flowing down. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war He fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. And when I breathe my final breath, I'll have no need to fear the rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Cross. Cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Evil may put up its strongest fight, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor, all the power, and all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Savior has come with the morning light. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. He traded death for eternal life. The cross has the final word. Nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor and all the power and all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. He traded death for eternal life. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. He traded death for eternal life. The cross has the final word.
Let's pray. I love that last song, Lord. The cross does have the final word. We thank you that Pilate doesn't, that the leaders of those Jews didn't, that Nietzsche doesn't, but the cross does. Lord, we ask you to point us to the truth of who you are, and what the truth is sacrificial love, forgiveness of enemies, love of neighbors, the building up of the weak and the nobodies. We thank you, Lord, that you give us life. We confess that we put you on that cross and we ask you to forgive us. And we thank you that you said it is a finish because you have. Fill us with your Spirit as we wait these days between your love on the cross and the truth that you win in your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, we're going to be back here on Sunday. Be ready to say he is risen indeed, because he has, and I will be saying he is risen. Be ready to celebrate, but in between, remind yourself of who this God is, who we are, and what is important and what is truth. Now go in the love of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.